All right, let's have the house lights up. We got some seats on the front row down here, right in the center section. Oh, got one right there. Oh, I'm that's a good seat. It's red. If you're wearing something that goes with red today, that's the seat right there. We got some seats over here. Let's make room. How about it? Come on, isn't it good to have a house full? All right, a few of you believe that. I know you're going to make some noise later today, and I love that song we just sang about shouting forth the praise of God. Gross Lewis has his finger up right now with the number one, because here's the deal. I said, I'm surprised you're not wearing Patriot garb, because they're normally loud and proud, and yeah, she's holding up number two when I said the Patriots, so that, I don't know if that's prophecy or foreshadowing or anything. That's right, yes, it got all the ring. Okay, stop it. Stop it. Today's message is for you. Just kidding, no. Hey guys, it has been a great weekend in this house. You need to know right now that this place has been filled with the Spirit of God all weekend, and I hope that you've already experienced it. For any man in the house today that or a dude's weekend, listen, I would go into war with some of those dudes. Did you see those hatchet throwing skills? We ate good. Those turkey legs, those were fresh off of our hatchet throwing yesterday, and we just kind of grabbed stuff. There was armadillo in the middle. I mean, it's all over the women. But now, it's been a great weekend as men were challenged. And here's what I'm encouraged about, and that's what I love about the house of 1910. I believe there's some men that are really serious about being the man, the leader, the teacher, the provider, the equipper, the just being the man God has created them to be. Amen. And we're all on the journey together. We admit that, and for those of you that have not received the strong male leadership that to be honest with you, God desires for us as men to dish out, we apologize for that. And I'm just encouraged and excited when I gather together with dudes in the room. 170 were in the room this weekend here, and I'm just excited to see what God's going to do. But the reality of what God's—he started something. It's not complete yet. Are you with me there? He started something, and the real measure of dudes' weekend will be in the weeks, months, and years to come as that fruit begins to be made known. Right, as it begins to sprout. And become visible. And so I'm praying that you know, it wasn't one of those in one ear, out the other type of weekend experiences, but I'm really excited to see. So first of all, for all the other dudes that weren't here, man, we'd love to catch you up to speed and let you hear some of the things that God's up to and doing. And for you ladies, and for you kids of dads in this room, and I just, you watch out. About to dominate and take over. Man, prove it. I'm gonna prove it. Jack, I ain't scared. Anyway, but it's exciting. So ladies, thanks for letting your husbands out on good behavior this weekend, and all those chores. He still got some time this afternoon before the game to get those taken care of for you. But it is good. Hey, listen, many of you have been asking how we did. You know, did anybody come worship with us here in the month of December? Round of applause. Anybody show up? So, awesome. During the month of December, I was challenging us and having us pray towards finishing this, paying off this building that we're in right now, so that we can move forward to the greater things that God has for us. And I'm going to let you know, man, we're going to celebrate today because we gave over $250,000 towards finishing this off. On top of our regular tithes and offerings, it's a great month of December here at 1910 Church. And I want to say thank you guys for being faithful with your giving and for helping us to continue to move forward in finishing this off so that we can move forward. We made a declaration during our last series that God's not finished. He's preparing for something greater. And we believe that here at 1910 Church. In fact, I want to read to you something that I received in the mail. It's really odd and weird, first of all, because it's handwritten. You remember that? Do you remember when you used to write letters? And look, it's on some of that cute little stationery that you get at like Hallmark or Papyrus or whatever those types of paper stores. Is it Paper Source or something like Hobby Lobby? Oh, man. Dudes, steer clear of that place. It will hurt you. It'll hurt you. Anyway, but I got a letter in the mail. This is a great way to start the year. I got it. It was dated January the 1st. And I don't know how you feel about signs or visions or prophecy or things like that, but I'm holding on to this one. Can I read it to you? Pastor Jason, I visited your church and they visited the first Sunday in December while I was in Texas visiting my daughter and her family. What a blessing your church is! Exclamation mark. Check this out. No, here's, I could feel the Holy Spirit's presence as soon as I walked in. Drop the mic. I mean, we're done. We're done. I could feel the Holy Spirit's presence as soon as I walked in. You know, we pray that as a staff every week. That there would be something greater in this room than any human being. That there would be someone who we just sang to him. We just sang about him. You just lifted up your voice to singing, whoa, that's not even a real word, but you sang it to him today, okay? And you sang it loudly because I think that you also believe that today we're in the presence of one that is worthy of our woes and our praise and our hands lifted high, and he's greater than us. That's the presence of God. Amen. I could feel the Holy Spirit's presence as soon as I walked in. I listen to your podcast daily while I work out. You see what I'm talking about right there? I'm working. I'm motivational. I don't know. But here's the deal. I hope this small offering helps to finish this. She enclosed a check and sent it to us. I can't wait to visit again. 1910 is my home away from home church. She signed her name, keeping you all in my prayers. And oof, you know who you are from California that's watching and blessing this house here at 1910. Can we just show some love and some honor today? Man, I love that. So not only here in the hill country, from Burney to Bandera and Pipe Creek, from Bergheim to Bull Verde to San Antonio, Leon Springs, Helotes. Man, we're going up to Fredericksburg. We're dominating Stonewall. Anybody from Stonewall with me today? Come on, somebody. Kerrville and all, Comfort. I mean, all over. God's doing a great work. And all the way to California, right? God's doing a great work. But I want to thank you guys for being faithful as well. Thank you for being faithful. And thank you guys for being a church that's just fun to come to. A church that's a go-getter type church. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Don't you want to be around go-getters? Right? You want to be around go-getters. Somebody's going to do something. That's what I want to be about. The opposite of a go-getter is it's a no-getter. Like, I don't know what it is, but somebody just sits around and eats potato chips and watches Jerry Springer all day. And who wants that? I want to be a part of a church that is serious about moving forward, advancing the story of Jesus Christ. Are you with me there? Hey, so do this. Will you stand up with me one more time? This is your last chance to stand for the next 3 hours before I let you go. And I just want to give you one more chance. Grab somebody's hand next to you. And let's just thank God. God, you're so good. Come on, has God been good to anybody? Father, we just want to thank you right now. In fact, let's just fill this place right now with our voices out loud. God, thank him. Thank him for something. Come on, he woke you up today. Have you told him thank you? Come on, you had breakfast this morning. You ate. You had transportation here. Anybody take Via or Uber? No, you drove. You had friends. Listen, you're holding hands with somebody right now that knows you possibly and loves you and cares for you. Just thank God right now. Tell him how thankful. God, you're the giver of all good things. You're a blessing type of giving God. You are good. And we say thank you. Thank you, Father, for all you do. God, I want to thank you for this lady from California that understands that, hey, you're doing something. And I want to be a part of a move of God. Please celebrate it with thank you. And God, it's not about the amount of the check. It's an attitude of the heart. Come on. You love a joyful giver. And Father, we celebrate and say thank you. Thank you for Miss Brown. Thank you, Lord. Oh, so good. Holy Spirit, thanks for being with us. Come on. He's here. And you promised us that you would be with us. You promised us that you would never leave us nor forsake us. You promised that you would be with us to the very end of time. Thank you. We don't have to beg, plead for you to come. You're present. Have you already felt him here today? Come on, let me hear you. Thank you, Father. Oh, we know that you're not finished. God, just as we pray for a visitation of the Spirit each and every week, we pray today a transformation would come to this house. Lord, the reality is we don't need to sing new songs or watch cool videos. We don't need to be wild or enamored with another message. We need transformation. Lord, we don't need just to hear the word of God. We need to be changed by it. Come on, right? We need to be renewed in our minds. We need to be transformed. God, we need to be changed. And that's my prayer, that in these next few moments, whatever else happens, transformation would happen and we leave this place different. God, I want to thank you for all of our friends that are dialed in watching online right now. And guys, I pray that for you guys as well that are watching, that God would use this moment to meet you in your room or your RV, on the beach, wherever you're at, and that the Spirit of God would transform your life. All for your glory. Whose glory? His glory. It's in the name of Jesus we all said, amen. Thank you guys, you can have a seat. Yeah, you can clap for him. Give the Lord a round of applause, amen. Praise you, Lord, thank you, you're good. You know, the church is known for a lot of things. If you've been looking at any of our social media posts this week, and as we were promoting this new Saved by the Bell type of graphic looking series that we're about, you remember Kelly Kapowski, Zach Morris, come on, remember the brick phone with that antenna? How many of you remember when phones had cords to them? Do you remember that? Right? Come on, somebody. Whew, man, that's what's wrong with us today. Let's bring back a telephone cord. Amen. Praise Jesus. The church is known for a lot of things. A lot of the things that we're known for these days are things that I think are things that God never intended us to be known for. We're known a lot of times for being against these things and being an angry mob and being bitter. We protest, we boycott, we picket. What is picket? That's not a real word. Guys, I'm telling you, it's been a long weekend. Too many turkey legs. What's that T word that turkey gives you? That's mess me up. We're known for a lot of things. We're known for yelling loudly. We're known for putting up a hand, and we're known for coming across with maybe a judgmental, condemning type of spirit. Now, that's not to say that we shouldn't stand for something, right? The old country song, we listened to it all week, and you've got to stand for something or you'll... You guys know that, but you didn't know the words to the last... Anyway, that's okay. That's good. We're going to work. We're a work in progress, right? But you got to stand for something. I'm not saying it's wrong, but I just simply believe that our approach and the way that maybe we as a church have been taking a stand for things might not be the best approach. In fact, here's what I believe. In fact, I know. It's turned people outside the church off towards the church. And so what would happen if we could get back to what we're called to do? And that is to stand for what's right, right? But what if we could begin to embrace that and present ourselves with the spirit and attitude of love? This series, Love Loud. I do know something, that is something we're called to do, is to love. So this is the month of February. This is the love month. Men, your phone will remind you, but Valentine's Day is about a week and a half away. And instead of us doing a series on human relationships between a husband and wife, or offer dating tips for you single people because God may have somebody in your future, we thought, what would happen if we took time out in this love month and remembered our call as the body of Christ to do just that, to love others? Are you with me there today? Okay? To love others. Billy Graham, I don't know if you've, Dr. Billy Graham said this. He said, it's the Holy Spirit's job to convict. It's God's job to judge. And it's our job to, guess what? To love. Now, I know that it's not all doom and gloom for us as the body of Christ. I know that we are out there doing some things, I believe, in the name and for our Savior, and we're doing them well. I know that there are ministries and activities, there are programs that are being offered, there are emphases, there are trips that people are taking. I know that we are a church that is going in the name of Jesus, and we're doing things from a pure heart and with the spirit of love. But you need to understand something. Even sometimes our best intentions and our best efforts will still not be accepted by some. Listen, what we represent and what we stand for in the body of Christ is countercultural, right? And I mean, we're gonna face opposition. As much as we go in the power and the authority of a God that has conquered death, I love that song, your body began to breathe. He didn't stay dead, he rose. And we go in that resurrection power and we go with that type of confidence. Even in our best efforts, we are countercultural today with the message of Jesus Christ. And not everyone is going to accept it. Not everyone is going to receive us with applause and say, there he comes, he coming, and receive our message. I mean, even great leaders that we read about in the gospel, like John the Baptist, the Apostle Paul, Jesus Christ himself, and other prophets, I mean, they were killed even back in their day because the message of the gospel to some is just offensive, isn't it? It's so countercultural. And we may be going at the right spirit and in the right attitude and with the right message, but even in those times, there are going to be some times in which we might be rejected. However, there are some times, though, in which I just look at us as the church and say, man, we are messed up. I think that there are some things that we are doing, we think, in the name of Jesus, and we're going for him, but I think that we're trying to fight nobly and thinking that we are, but we're only shooting ourselves in the foot. For instance, sometimes we post dumb things online. Now, I'm gonna preach a little bit right now. You ready for this? You sitting down? Sometimes we as Christians are just ignorant and we're dumb. And we post things online thinking that my post somehow is gonna turn the tide and change the course of history. Trump's gonna listen to my post and read that, and it's all good. He even thinks he can do that sometimes, right? And it's gonna be received well. And what happens to even some of our best intentions, we're just dumb sometimes. And we post things that are ugly, they're rants, they come maybe from a spirit of anger. We say things sometimes about people, and I'm just gonna tell you, people that have been created by God, that he loves dearly. We say ugly things about traffic patterns and businesses that are no longer in town. I mean, we're ugly and we're just plain dumb sometimes online. I want you to think about your posts recently. Have they been edifying to Jesus Christ and the body of Christ? You say, no, but I'm right. That's okay. Have they edified and helped? Has there been a lost person, somebody from outside the church, come to know Jesus as a result of that last thing you posted? We're dumb online sometimes, aren't we? Am I talking, Pastor Blake, aren't we? We are. We shoot ourselves in the foot. We shoot ourselves in the foot, I think, when we get too political. I know that even in those, in a room this size today, and it's packed, by the way, those of you watching online, but even those of you watching online, listen, even in this room, I know that we're divided where we stand on things. And that's okay. But it doesn't have to cause us not to still love one another and reach across the aisle and hold hands. Listen, can I just burst your bubble? Listen, this is crazy. God's not a Republican. And he's not a Democrat. Hang on, I'm gonna get all of you. He's not an independent. He doesn't own a coffee chain from up north somewhere. He's not. God is God. And I just think sometimes we turn people outside the church off because we can get too political. Now, please hear my heart. That's not to say that we should not stand for what we believe is the right thing. I'm not saying that, okay? Please hear my own heart. But it doesn't, red and blue do not have to be divisive. In fact, I think he loves all the colors and people and all that. We shoot ourselves in the foot when we begin to rank sin. And we in the church, man, we are dead set against sexual sin. Man, if you're having sex outside of the marriage bed, whoa, there is no hope for you, we say. You're dirty. Man, if homosexual, gay, lesbian, whoa, I don't know. And we say those things and we get very vocal about those things. But yet no one wants to talk about gluttony. No one wants to talk about foul, coarse language. No one wants to talk about jealousy or envy. No one talks about anger or bitterness that you're holding toward. We rank sin. And we've elevated this one. This is the, woo, that's the big one. Hey, maybe instead of us getting on a bandwagon, maybe we ought to just start dealing with our own stuff first. Hey, can we just do that? Why don't you deal with your own junk first? Ah, man, that was bonus stuff. I didn't mean to go there with you. But we begin to judge, don't we? We place ourselves on that bench, that judge's bench. And we point and we gripe and we complain and we say, you're off. And you know what? You might be the one off. You might be the weirdo. Right? And we just do that. I was interested to see what people outside the church say about those of us in the church. Quote, the reason the world hates Christians is because they behave badly. They're rude. They're boorish. They're arrogant. They're conceited. They're full of themselves. They're ignorant and they're judgmental. Did I just describe anybody in this room? Let me hear you clap. Come on. Oh, you liar. You better clap right now. We've been that. Those outside the church see us for things that we are against. They know what we're against more than what they know we're for. You know that, right? They know what we stand against more than what we're for. Listen to what one said. It just seems to me that Christians are mad at the world and they're mad at each other. They're so negative. They seem unhappy. I have no desire to be like them and stay upset all of the time. Does that strike a nerve with anybody? Hey, listen, we have the joy of Jesus Christ in us. Some of y'all need to tell your faces that. And you need to look joyful. You need to seem upbeat, positive. Do you not know about the life that Jesus has given you? Do you know about the eternity that is set for you? Can we not be? Why are we walking around with scowls on our faces? And unhappy. I've been given life. I've been set free. Yes. Tell your face that. People outside are turned off by us because they don't see a difference in our lives. We go there, right? They just don't notice a difference. You're a Christian? What makes you that? Because you go to church on Sunday? Once a month? Quote, I really can't tell what a Christian believes because he doesn't seem much different than other people I know. The only exception, he goes on to say, would be the Mormons. They really seem to take their beliefs seriously. I would agree to some of that. When's the last time you knocked on somebody's door? Let's just start with that one. And invited them to church. When's the last time you see what I'm saying? They just don't see a difference in us. Do we really believe this? Do we really believe the one and we sing, whoa? Do we really believe that in him? Are we gonna live differently? Hey church, here's what I know and here's why we're gonna camp out in February with Love Loud. Some things have gotta change. We better change. Or check this out, when generations start dying off, these younger people, and aren't you thankful for young people eat up with Jesus in this house? Come on. if we don't change, and if we continue just to yell louder and become more angry, and blah, if we just continue to vomit on culture, we will lose culture. And let me just tell you something. God has planted us here to reach this culture. And so we're going to start a journey today, Love Loud. We're going to talk about some things that I think are important for us, just demonstrations of love. In fact, here's what we're going to do. Through this month of February, with each topic that I preach, I'm actually going to give you a challenge, a call to action. And so if you're content just to sit and you don't want to actually have to do anything when it comes to faith or the gospel of Jesus, this is probably a great opportunity for you to check out some of the other fine churches in our area. And I'm not embarrassed about that. I want to be a part of a church that's on the move. I want to be a part of a congregation that's serious about going out and doing something. So each week I'm going to offer a challenge to you. Now it's called a challenge, and it's going to make some of you uncomfortable, right? It's not called an easy, it's called a challenge, okay? But I believe that some of us need to get out of our comfort zone, and it's time for a change. So can we go for it today? You ready for this? Today I want us to look at the word forgiveness. Oh, the air is sucked out of the room right now. Somebody just left, praise Jesus. I want us to look today at this thing called forgiveness. Because if you read the Bible, anybody do so? Anybody? If you read the Bible, you're gonna find that this thing of forgiveness is a very, very big deal in the Bible. In fact, depending on what translation you have, you're going to probably find the word forgive, forgiveness, forgiven, forgiving, some variation of that, anywhere from 119 to 150 times mentioned. Okay? Depends on that translation. Here's what I know. It's a big deal, so let's just spend some time looking at that today. Can we do that? And just the word forgiveness, I heard moans and groans all across the room. Those of you watching online went, oh! It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Maybe because for some of us, it conjures up, brings back a bad memory. Maybe you're still in that right now. Maybe there's something when I mentioned the real F word, forgiveness. Maybe there's something in your mind that says, you know what? I've been waiting for someone to seek that from me. They wronged me. Or maybe just perhaps there's someone that you know that you need to step out to and say, hey, would you forgive me? And we're gonna talk about this today, if I can, for just the next few moments, because I believe that we cannot expect to live at peace with God, or we cannot truly experience all of the blessings that he has for our lives until we learn to forgive other people. Till we forgive those that somehow owe us a debt. A debtor. They've wronged us. And here's why we're going to start with this today, because I believe that God wants to set someone in this house today free. What do you mean by that? Here's the deal. If you have a struggle when it comes to this area of forgiveness, here's the deal. You're being held as a captive and a slave, and you're in bondage. No, it's not me. I didn't do it. I'm just telling you, it's there and you know it, and you've been longing and waiting for someone to step across the aisle or walk across the street or what, and they've not. And I'm telling you, it still bothers you, doesn't it? It weighs on your mind. And I'm praying that today as we look at the word of God, you guys okay with that? That we see what he has to say about this area of forgiveness, and maybe it'll just set somebody free. Looking on social media this week, somebody posted this picture of Charles Spurgeon, and these words were on the caption. He said this, anger does a man more hurt than that which made him angry. Do you remember, actually, your grandmother used to probably say something like this, don't you go to bed angry. Anybody ever heard that phrase? It's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. Right? Don't let the sun go down on your anger, right? And there are a lot of things that probably your grandparents said, like, you know, biscuits and lard really are better than anything else in life, right? Aren't they? But in reality, this is such a deep biblical truth as well. For some of us, we're walking around and we're in bondage, we're enslaved to this thing, and it maybe was something that started out so small, but because we've not sought forgiveness from it or been forgiven of something, it's become a nightmare, hasn't it? It's festered. Started out with trash in my yard or whatever. And we've not dealt with it. So today I want us to deal with some of this stuff. Pastor John MacArthur says that in all of his counseling situations, that most of the personal issues and problems that people have sat in his office with or whatever, most of those all stem back to this very topic that we're talking about today. It's an issue of forgiveness. And we've not been forgiven, or there's somebody we need to release, and we've just not dealt with it. Hey, can I just burst your bubble today? Check this out. Every one of us are gonna get hurt at some point in life. You know that? Not everybody's your friend. Even though they may be on your Facebook feed, you don't know them, right? And they're not your friend. They just wanna look at your photos and your mess. They want to see where you work and who your family members are, right? They want to see, anyway, sorry. Get off of that, Brown. Come on, move on. Word of God. Where's that? You're going to get hurt. In fact, Jesus promised us that. Did you know that? Now, come on, listen. I'm all for the promises of God. Did you know he promised that we'll get hurt? John 16:33. Test me in it. Try me. Look at it. In this world, you will have trouble, trials, trouble. Struggles, difficulties. The ball's not always gonna bounce your way. The pendulum's not always gonna swing your direction. You're not always gonna be the life of the party. You know? In this world, he says, you will have trouble. Of course, the verse doesn't end there. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Amen? If you look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, you're gonna find that those of us that are pursuing this thing called godliness, those of us that are pursuing a godly life, hey, 2 Timothy 3:12 says, check this out. If you do that, you're gonna be persecuted. Well, sign me up for that. Bring me some trouble and persecution, woohoo! No, but we don't think, you're gonna get hurt. And so we've got to somehow develop this spirit of forgiveness within us. We've got to learn how to forgive others. Look what it says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 13. It says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Keep that last line up there. There's not a lot of gray in that phrase right there, is there? There's not a lot of wiggle room for us to, you know, I just, listen, what they did was really uncalled for. And it was really an atrocity, an attack on my, I'm just saying, scripture says to bear with and forgive. It says to forgive and remember what Christ has done for you, right? If you look at Mark chapter 11, verse 25, you're gonna find this. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him so that your Father in heaven may forgive your sins. Uh-oh, that pretty much covers all the bases, doesn't it? No offense, no offender is too great. I'm telling you, when we refuse to forgive, I just don't see how we can be the recipients and experience God's love to its fullest and the life that he came to give us. You know, most of us have probably quoted what I believe is probably one of the greatest forgiveness illustrations in all of God's word, and you may not even have recognized it. If you've ever been an athlete or a part of a group or team before a big game or a big performance, you know, there have been times in which I've knelt down in a locker room with a group of sweaty guys and we've grabbed hands, bow your heads, coach said, and let's all say the what prayer? The Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven. You know, there's a phrase in that prayer that many of us could quote and we've said how many times in our lives. That it's a phrase that maybe we tend to overlook. It's Matthew 6, verse 12, and it's the phrase that you've prayed. You said this, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And in our immaturity and in our desire just to get out on the field and crush some heads or, you know, sing the national anthem, whatever, we've just written this off saying, I don't owe anybody money and no one owes, but that's not what it says. If I read this from the King James Version to take care of some of my critics who think that I'm not pastoral enough because I don't read from that, but that's okay, you're good. Hopefully we're okay now. Stop the mail. But really, if we were to read something that might be a little bit easier for us to understand, and forgive us our what? Probably our sins, our shortcomings, our failures, our wrong attitudes. Lord, would you forgive us of those? Have you ever stopped to think about it? Would you forgive us of those, God, just as we, forgive those who've done those things to us? It's hard, isn't it? I thought about that. I'm going, man, what if God only forgave me to the extent that I've been willing to forgive those who've sinned against me? Wow. Tell you a real quick personal story. And many of you that have been with us know kind of a little bit of history about my family, and I love my family. We're good. It's awesome. But around the age of 19, just as I was turning 20, right before I was, Angie and I were about to get married, and we've been married 28 years. This year, number 29, 28 and a half. Whoop, whoop. Come on, somebody. My mom and dad divorced. I was raised in a great home, Christian family. I'm a pastor. My brother's a pastor. I mean, we knew the stuff. We were part of it. We were entrenched in the church. And I grew up loving church. Parents, listen, your kids can grow up loving church. They can. And I think a lot of that, Pastor Wes, had to do with my parents' attitude towards it as well. Ooh, anyway, we could, different sermon series. But attitude adjustment, that'd be good. Write that down. That's good. That's a Holy Spirit moment right there. Attitude adjustment. But I grew up loving the church. By the age of 19, right before I turned 20 years old, my dad and my mom divorced. And it was a setback. Anybody's parents divorced? Anybody been through it? It's not, it hurts, doesn't it? I mean, I was 20, I was a man, and it still hurts to this day. And I gotta tell you something, I'm just being transparent and real. I didn't understand forgiveness, because you know what I did? Because here's what I know, it's always one person's fault in a marriage when things go wrong, right? It's what I used to think. I've learned some stuff since then. But I went through this period, and you need to understand that I'm now serving full time in a local church. I'm teaching teenagers and students the word of God, and I'm leading. I was the choir director. I didn't have a clue what I was doing, but you just smiling and fake it. You see what I'm saying? Anybody can do that. Anybody. But I had this unforgiving spirit in me towards my father. And it wasn't a week went by or a month went by. It wasn't that in the first year that I dealt with this. Guys, almost 3 years went by. I'm not proud of that. I'm serving, I'm ministering, I'm preaching, I'm teaching, but inside of me was unforgiveness. And one day the Lord spoke to me. Does God ever speak to you? Are you listening to him? He's speaking. And I wrote it down. Here's what I heard the Lord tell me. How could I expect my heavenly father to forgive me when I had not forgiven my earthly father? And that Matthew 6:12, that prayer that I prayed hundreds of times before a big game, and I've spoken about things about loving people and releasing them, and there's no condemnation in Jesus. He's not mad at you. I preached all those things, but inside of me was this ugly thing called unforgiveness. I'll never forget picking up the phone. Yes, back when they had cords to them. And calling my dad. I said, Dad, I want you to know I forgive you. And there was silence. I'm going, hello? Hey. And he just began to weep. Because for 2.5, 3 years, this thing had gone on. And I was mad and I was bitter and I was angry. It still hurts to this day. Don't get me wrong. But there was a breakthrough in our relationship that moment. Forgiveness is a big deal. If for those of you that have spent any amount of time in the Bible, you know that it is the core, it's the very heart of the gospel. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 says, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Man, those are strong words. And guys, I want you to know that unforgiveness always affects your relationship with God. And there may be something today that's got a hold of you, that you need to release, you need to seek forgiveness for, or ask somebody to do so. But I'm telling you, why? Not because I'm telling you to or because it was good for me. I'm just telling you, when you read the Bible, you're gonna see that that's exactly what God has done for us through his son, Jesus. You and I have a long list of wrongs and sins and things that we've done that hurt the heart of God, right? Right? Am I? Yeah. The Bible says we all have that in common, as a matter of fact. It says, for all have sinned and we all fall short of the glory of God. It says that the wages of that sin that you and I have, that we are, it's death. But there's a gift of God. And that gift was his son, Jesus. When he came, boom, boom, boom. And when he died for you, when he laid, you had done nothing right to earn that demonstration of love and forgiveness. In fact, you remember that there were two guys up there also. There were the thief on each side of Jesus, right? Do you remember one of them said, hey, Father, would you remember me today in paradise? Even in that moment, Jesus struggling to breathe, blood flowing from his head to the ground. What's he doing? He's forgiving a criminal. What's it gonna take for you to be set free? What's it gonna take for you to set somebody else free? I have a challenge for you today. You ready? It's not an easy, it's a challenge. And you've got 6.5 days to complete this, because you're gonna come back to church next Sunday. You are. You're gonna make this a priority next week, and I want you to come back. And I wanna see how you're doing with this. I'm gonna be here, I want you to come. And here's the challenge for you this week. This week, I want you to forgive someone that's wronged you. Maybe that. Or I want you to seek forgiveness from someone that you've wronged. It may be somebody in this church. But I want you to think of a situation that has been stressed or strained. It's caused anger. There's bitterness. A relationship that once was tight is now, it's divided because of something. And I want you to seek forgiveness from someone that maybe you've hurt or offended, or someone that maybe has done it to you. I want you to say, you know what, man, I wanna forgive you. I don't want this to be something that keeps us from living in unity together. And I'm not saying that you're besties from then on, right? Because sometimes those things leave a mark and you can't forget them. You remember them, right? But you're just not gonna live under the weight of that any longer. Does that make sense to you? And here's what I'm gonna do. I think that there are different levels, Bruce, to this challenge. You can be the easy level, and I'm okay with that. Easy is all right in this. You can fire off a text message or an email if you want to. That's all right. I think that's wimpy, but that's okay if you choose that. Did I say that? Sorry, we'll delete that. Now, if you wanted to, that's cool. That's a step. Or maybe it's, I'm gonna go find a piece of stationery somewhere. I'm gonna write a letter. Love that. It's a trophy to me, Mike. That's a trophy. I love handwritten stuff. Don't you? Hey, ladies, come on, be honest. Your man sends you a text message or handwrites a letter. Which one means more to you? handwritten letter. Come on. Ooh, if he sprays that Aqua Velva on there or something, or you say Aqua or Aqua? Aqua, okay. Besides, you can do what you want to do, but maybe you want to write a letter. Maybe you want to pick up the phone and call. Or I'm just telling you, for those of you that really have any hope of heaven one day, maybe, just kidding. It's a joke. Maybe you want to schedule coffee with someone. And Brandy, maybe you want to look somebody in the eye. Just say, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of what the enemy's using to cause this in our relationship. And hey, you to forgive me? Or hey, would, whatever I've done, would you just let me know, God? Just, I want us to put it past us. So that's the challenge. Those of you online, that's the challenge for you. What will we do this week? Now I know what you're thinking. You're saying, Jason, listen, bro. You just don't know the situation I'm thinking about, and it is impossible for me to forgive this person. Jason, they've hurt me deeply. Listen, they continue to hurt me, and I just can't do this. You know what? You're exactly right. You can't, but God can. See, there's something I set you up. There's something you need to understand. This thing called forgiveness, it's supernatural. And for some of us that are really hurt and struggling, listen, it is going to require the work of God to do this in you. But can I just let you know something? This is not about flesh and blood ability. Listen, if you are a child of God, you have been infused with the same power that it says in Ephesians 1 that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you remember what last week's sermon was? Anybody remember what was the key phrase? Thank you. I preached my guts out last week. No one remembers. Let him loose. The Spirit is in you. He's given you the power to do what I just described today. You can't do it. Ah, but I'm telling you, there's one in you, Christian, that can if you will just let him loose. Am I talking to anybody? Let him loose. Let him do the supernatural in you. Would you stand up with me today? Ministry team, come and join me down front. I'm telling you, this is going to be a week of freedom. It may start today. Hey, go do it before the Super Bowl, and they won't even remember it because the game's coming on. Guacamole will kick in and they'll forget it. And so you'll be, no. It's a week of freedom in your life. Forgiveness. Let God do it through you this week. Would you bow your head and close your eyes as I pray to you today? Hey, there's someone in this room, I want you to understand something. Today, I want you to know that God loves you and he's offering forgiveness to you. No matter what you've done, no matter how bad you think you are, I'm telling you, all of us in this room at one point were dirty, rotten scoundrels. But the love of Jesus came in and cleansed us and made us sons and daughters. That can happen in your life today. And listen, if you've been the recipient of hurtful messages from us in the church, I want to ask you to forgive us, because that's not the heart of our God in heaven. And we want to come alongside in love. Today, if you need Jesus, I want you to come right now. Maybe you're here today and you need prayer over a situation in your life. There's something you're facing and you just need a word of encouragement. That's why we stand today. So Father, I pray that we would take serious this call today to forgive as we have been forgiven. All for the glory of God. In his name we pray. Everybody said, amen. Thank you. You're dismissed.